In Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse 15, it says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Speaking the truth in love may grow up. And that's what it's all about. Growing up in the Lord. Just simply maturing. Just simply coming to the full growth and stature of maturity in the Lord. That you might grow up into him in all things. In other words, that you might become everything that Christ wants you to become. Everything. Not just be a one-sided individual, or always a weakling, you know? Always stumbling and falling over the same little problems, the same little difficulties. Always being hindered by the same things. Grow up in Christ. Mature. Rise above these things to where you are mature in Christ. That you become everything he wants you to be. There is a difference between spiritual manifestations and spiritual maturity. And some people don't know that yet. Some people feel that because a gift operates through their life, they are spiritually mature. They may be spiritually immature. There may be a person who can give a beautiful message in tongues on Sunday morning and get their feelings hurt because a pastor doesn't shake hands with them on Sunday night. See, there may be an individual that prays for someone and that person may be healed, but that individual who prayed for them and they were healed, they themselves may be so immature that every little thing shakes them. And in this spiritual revival that we are witnessing today, right before our eyes, we're seeing the same thing happen that has been done repeatedly over and over and over again. Individuals are measuring people by the number of gifts that operate through their life instead of looking for the fruit that is evident from their life. And there is a vast difference. When you grow up, you produce fruit. When you're a kid, you're always looking for gifts. Isn't that right? Amen. Go to town, come back. Daddy, what'd you buy me? Mama, what'd you buy me? Now, that may seem a little funny, but spiritually, that's what's happening today. Everybody's looking for a new gift. And I'm not belittling the gifts. The gifts are essential. But they should never be an end within themselves. We must strive for that maturity where that we are developing and producing the fruit of the Spirit. I thank God, and many, many times you notice, and you're going to see this continue, that sometimes I will say, "Hold it. Everybody stand still in the presence of God." And someone says, "Did you hear him? They was about to give a message. Did you hear them? They was giving a message in tongues." We must not get to the point to where we feel that all of our coming together is for is to see who can give a message in tongues, or who can be used with this gift, or who can be used for that gift. There comes time that you've got to push away all of the gifts and get down to the nitty-gritty and say, "I'm going to dig in and I'm going to produce some fruit and I'm going to become stable, and I'm going to become solid, and I'm not going to get my feelings hurt every time something goes a little wrong with me, but I'm going to be a solid Christian, unmovable, and if everybody else falls by the wayside, Lord, you can count on me. I'll be here serving you. Amen? Now, someone's going to say, is Brother Gorman against the gifts? You know I'm not against the gifts. Amen? But you know what? My mother always told me and taught me, don't eat your dessert first. Amen? Don't eat your pie first. She always kind of used it as an enticing thing. Eat all your collard greens and spinach, and then I'll give you some banana pudding. By the time I got those down, I didn't want banana pudding. You get the point, don't you? What God is calling our church to today is to grow up. Many of you are growing up. But I want to see all of you plant your feet in the ground and get into the Word of God, hallelujah, and get a depth and get a maturity in your life, spiritually speaking, that the storms of life cannot move and the trials and persecution and things of this nature cannot cause you to fret and to worry, but hallelujah, you'll be able to give thanks in all things. Oh, glory to God. I didn't say give thanks for all things. I said in all things. Amen. Come to the place of the Lord Jesus Christ that ran in the face of the devil. You can laugh at him and say, don't you know you can't scare me? You say, what do you mean, Brother Gorman? I'm talking about whenever you get so discouraged that you're ready to throw up your hands and quit and say, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. What are you afraid of? You got Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. He's never lost a battle. He's my elder brother. Amen? And he's with me. Why be afraid? You won't be when you grow up. Amen? Hallelujah. I wondered, boy, my dad is not scared of the dark. He'd go right out in the dark and go places. When I was a little boy, I used to think, man, I don't mind getting married, but we sure not going to live by ourselves. I don't want the darkness coming in on me. But that was because I had not grown up. Amen? Right? Hallelujah. And spiritually speaking, you got to grow up. You got to mature. And you can only grow up by proper exercise, proper feeding of yourself, proper mentally putting yourself to the challenge of the task. Amen? All of these things are involved. And it means getting down to the bedrock of God's Word and start living by the Word and not by feelings. Amen? I'm not a Christian because I feel like it. I'm a Christian because the book says I am, and I believe the book. Amen? Hallelujah? Hallelujah? I didn't come to church tonight because I felt like it. That's right. I came to church tonight because I wanted to be in the house of God. Right? You got to graduate from those feelings over to faith. Hallelujah. Now, God takes you along for a little while. And I get so amused at people sometimes. God will use them one time with a gift, and bless God, then they set sail. You'd think, you know, that's right. Man, I've got the gift of healing. I've got the gift of prophecy. Amen? And all God was doing was because you'd been a good little boy, or a good little girl one, and you ate all your collard greens, he gave you a stick of candy. And you thought that suddenly you had arrived. You hadn't arrived at anything, because he's got a test tomorrow. And some of these same people, sometimes I cry and sometimes I laugh. And I laugh sometimes when some of you leave my office. I don't laugh in your face, but I laugh when you leave. Because it was just a few days ago that you was telling me how you could take the devil and tie so many knots in his tail before he could say jackrabbit. But now then, the devil's got you running so until you don't know which way to go. And you're boo-hooing and bawling and swollen. What happened to all that faith you had the other day? Come on, don't leave me. Amen? You know what? Bless God, you had a little extra ice cream of fudge on top of it. So suddenly you thought, I have arrived. Listen to an old boy that had been in shipwreck. He'd been stoned. He'd been left to die. He'd been through everything you could think of just about it. He'd been beaten. His back was left bleeding. And he says to the church at Philippi, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? He said, I have not yet apprehended that for which I was apprehended. In other words, I have not yet arrived, but I'm still pressing. Amen? Hallelujah. Let not him that thinketh he stand get too lifted up. Because the Lord has a long pin, and he lets the air out of your balloon. Amen? Don't get so puffed up, because you're in for a letdown every time. We are what we are by simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, if you want to turn me off in a hurry, start talking about some kind of mystical something that God revealed to you and carried you into some kind of relationship with him that nobody's ever been before. Well, friend, get away from me, because that's not the way my God works. He's simple. Amen. If he hadn't have been me and you, wouldn't have made it in. Amen. If you'd have got this thing complicated, you couldn't have figured it out. Right? Come on. You'd have never made it. Neither would I. Simple. Simple gospel. Simple faith. Hallelujah. Simple truths that God reveals to us and brings us into this simple relationship. Nothing complicated. Very simple. That you and I might know him. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't try to impress God. You know? How can we have anything to impress God with when he created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them? What can you offer him to impress him? Amen? Hallelujah. You say, but bless God, I'm so intelligent. Well, brother, how'd you like to have been Brother Adam? He made him and turned him loose, and he named every stinking thing there is in this world and in the sea and everywhere else. Named it and called it by name. And nobody's ever been able to change the names. Amen? I wonder where he ever thought of the name crocodile. Hippopotamus. I wonder if Adam could have spelled that. Have you ever thought about those things? And then someone think, because I'm so great and mighty, suddenly I'm going to impress God. Forget it, friend. You can't impress God. But if you want to really get to God, come to God and say, God, I'm nothing. But I sure would appreciate it if you'd take me and make something out of me. Amen? And as you turn your life over to him, that's when the work begins. Hallelujah. And then every day, remember you are what you are because of his grace. Because of his grace, not because of your ability, not because of your strength, not because of your intellect. Whatever gift operates through me tonight before this service comes to a close is simply because of his divine, unmerited favor upon my life and his willingness to use an earthen vessel such as I. Not because I'm perfect. Not because I'm a super duper somebody. Amen? You don't have to have a lot of sense to be a pipe. And that's all we are, is channels through which he flows. Right? Amen? You don't have to have a lot of intelligence to be a glove. And that's all we are, Brother Weldon, is that he puts us on. He comes within us. And he uses my mouth, my feet, my hands. Amen? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The word of God simply says that he is in us and we are in him. Glory be to God. And without him we can do nothing. This is the word of God. Hallelujah. And so the more yielded you can come to the Lord, the better off you are. You say, well, Brother Gorman, I've been trying to yield to God and I just can't. Well, that's the reason. It's like the old boy that's going, he said, I've been really trying to be humble. You can't be humble by trying. Humility is an attitude of the heart. You either are or you aren't. You don't work it up. Amen? See? You're not humble because you try to be humble. And someone says, bless God, I'm going to go up that altar and I'm going to yield to God. And they're so tight, man. You can't. Isn't that right? Come on. I'm not really trying to put you on a show tonight, but I want to get this message home to your heart. I want you to understand what I'm talking about. But this is what many people say. Bless God, I'm going to yield to God. And they stand there gritting their teeth. You know how to yield to God? Don't do anything. That's right. When you quit, then he takes over. You get it? A lot of people say, bless God, I was at the end of my rope. I'd done everything I knew to do. And then I just quit, and God helped me. That's what he was waiting for. He couldn't do anything till you quit. You were in the way. You caused the hindrance. And yielding to God is simply when you come to a place, you just say, Lord, take me. I'm yours. You quit fighting him. You quit opposing. You quit trying to figure it out. It's accepting the Lord and accepting his will. Some people do not know the difference between self-will and freedom of the will. Some people say, well, bless God, I'm free. I'm going to do what I want to do. You ever seen people like that? And they fight every inch of the way. When you start doing what you want to do, you're going to do your thing. You haven't never had it so rough. Some of you getting a message. That's right. You remember when you was going to do your thing? Bless God, I'm going to do my thing. We've all gone through it. We're going to do our thing. You never had it so rough. First of all, you don't know how to do your thing. Secondly, nobody's there to help you do your thing. Isn't that right? So you're fighting yourself, you're fighting the world, you're fighting your family, you're fighting the devil, you're fighting God. See, because you're going to do your thing. But whenever you suddenly one day can come to the point, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you die, to your will and just fall in line with his will. Amen. Then you don't have to push open any doors. It's open. That's right. God's will for your life, friend, is a gravy train if you'll get in it. But you walk with Satan or you walk in your own will and you've got some hard battles to fight. Amen. But see, God has no failures. Hallelujah. It's the only thing that kept me afloat. I've been in the will of God. That's right. It's the only thing that keeps anyone afloat. Stand in the will of God. Being in God's will. His will being done. Amen? The only way Moses ever got off the backside of the desert was getting God's will. Bless God, he moved him uptown when he got in God's will. Right into the house of Pharaoh. Instead of taking orders, he started giving orders. But it was God's orders. See? That's the difference. You want things to change for you? Get in God's will. What is God's will for your life? Yield to Him. Yield to the Spirit. Now, if you want to see this in its fullest form, look in John 8, 28 and 29. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Now I want to stop right there, and I want you to look at that. You found it in your book? John 8, 28 and 29. That I do nothing of myself. That means that I don't take over and do what I want to do. That means I don't go out to do my own thing. That simply means this. That I do what the Father has instructed me to do. And it works. Amen. That's why people can't understand how that so many churches that are flowing of the Spirit today are growing. It is because the people are not doing their thing. They're doing what God wants done. Amen. I was praying about what to teach on this morning. And the Lord said, don't teach in the morning. Let them ask you questions. But there were some things I wanted to teach on. But the Lord continued to deal with me. I walked in here this morning, and I mean one question after another, just like that. I didn't even get to all of them. One right after another, that God began to open up, and we began to minister to the people as they asked questions, and we began to answer them. Meeting needs in the lives of individuals. Amen? See, it's yielding to God. Saying, God, what do you want? What do you want to do today, Lord? Amen? Hallelujah. What do you want to do? See, and that's tough on some folks. God bless God, they don't like to submit. They're not going to submit to their husband. They ain't going to submit to their parents. They don't want to submit to any authority. And husbands are so afraid that the wife's going to make them henpeck to bless God anything she says wrong anyway. Right? Come on now. And then they wonder why God doesn't use them. Well, you big bully, God can't even get through to you. You're so afraid that you're going to be considered a weakling. But you're not weak when you're in God. You're mighty. Ooh, glory to the pulling down of the strongholds. Hallelujah. When you're in the Spirit. That's what you are. But you got to learn to submit. You got to learn to be brought under subjection to the will of God and to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know how many people have told me how they appreciated the messages that was preached Sunday. But you know what happened? God reversed those. I checked on him on what he wanted me to preach, but then I put them in the order I wanted to preach them. And he says, that's not the way they're to be preached. You preach the one that you're going to preach Sunday night, you preach it Sunday morning. And you preach the Sunday morning one Sunday night. See, all of these things, as little as it may seem to you, God has people in every session that He wants to minister to. And if you are open to Him, He'll minister to people. Hallelujah. See, we've got to become the channel. We've got to become the pipe. We've got to become the outlet through which God works and flows and moves. Now look what verse 29 says. He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Isn't that beautiful? He said, I'm not alone. He that sent me is with me, and I do those things which please him. Oh, hallelujah. Can you say that? This is what I want to do. The things that please God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I know that according to the world, we don't do the things and we don't conduct the service and all. You know, and sometimes I feel sorry. I don't know whether they still do or not. The church is so big, I can't tell when people come in. But there used to be a lot of those students from the seminary. They'd come in, you know, to study my sermons on Sunday night and all, and they'd go back the next day and discuss them. I would like to know some of the things they said about the way I conducted the service. Don't you know that they had some dillies to tell the next day when they got in there with that professor? You know, huh? I'm sure they did. But you know what? You've got to be open to the Spirit of God. It's the thing that God does that is considered foolishness by men that confounds the wise and brings them to Christ. That's why Paul said, we are considered as fools for Christ's sake. Amen? And you've got to be yielded to the Spirit of God. You've got to come to that point. You can yield. You can quit fighting, quit rebelling, quit holding back. Amen? And in Isaiah chapter number 1, I believe it's somewhere around verse 20. Isaiah 1. Yeah, 1 and verse 19 and 20. It said, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Your willingness to obey, your willingness to submit, your willingness to be led, amen, to be led by the Spirit. Now let's stop for just a moment on this. Willing to be led, willing to do, amen. And you know, a lot of your own attitudes that you have in the natural will reflect in your spiritual life. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Some people pride themselves in being different. You know, everybody else wanted to go have ice cream. Bless God, I wanted pizza, so I made everybody go eat pizza with me. You know, this sort of thing? That carries right over into your spiritual life. That kind of attitude. See? In other words, it is a rebellious attitude. And for us to be used of God, we have to be led by the Spirit. For I, by my natural faculty, I do not know what God wants for any given service. But when I connect into the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God knows the heart and mind of God and relates to me what God wants for that service. And as I flow under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, I'm able to minister to the hearts and lives of people, not because I knew what to do when I came there, but simply because I knew how to be led. And this is what I'm saying to you tonight. The ability to be led is a fantastic thing. And if you're willing to be led, you'll eat the good of the land. Because the Lord knows where the best grass is. The Lord knows where the freshest springs of water are. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One old boy one time got carried away preaching about heaven. He says, bless God, if you'll let God bless you. He said, when you get to heaven, he's telling about how good everything was going to be. He said, the peaches don't have fuzz on them and the bananas don't have peelings on them. He said, bless God, the watermelons don't even have seed in them. Well, I won't go that far, but I will tell you that if you want the best that there is, be led by the Spirit of God, because where God leads you, hallelujah, the land flows with milk and honey. There may be giants all around you, but the Holy Spirit will lead you, and when it's time to kill the giants, He'll take care of them too. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit knows, and He leads us and He guides us. He directs us. Learn to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Now, I don't know when I started. I don't want to keep you too long, but let me just share this with you. Yesterday, Father Cohen had called me and asked me to have lunch with him. And so we were having lunch together, and we were sharing about what God was doing, how God was blessing. And so he says to me, he says, Brother Gorman, he said, I know the gifts of the Spirit operate through you. And he said, I know that various gifts are manifest through your life. And he says, this doesn't happen through my life in that manner. He said, I desire God to use me, but he said, it hasn't as yet. And he asked me a question that has asked me quite often. And this is not in any way belittling to him, and I don't want anyone to think that. He's a beautiful person and a very sincere and a very dedicated man of God. He's filled with the Spirit, and there's no doubt in my mind about it. He loves God. But he's like many other people. And this is what disturbs me. You see, here's a beautiful man of God, but you just don't grow up overnight in the things of the Spirit. Amen. You don't arrive in 3 years or 2 years. One time I told someone that they were still a babe in Christ because they'd given a message in tongues and they what they thought was a message, and I said it was not a message. I said it was nothing more than you're glorifying God. And they got their feelings hurt because that I said that was not a message. I said, now you'll understand better as you grow, but I said you're still a babe in Christ. And they've been saved for about a year and a half, I guess. And they got their feelings hurt. They thought they had arrived. You know, they were fixing to get their master diploma. You know? But it doesn't work that way. You know, I've been walking with God since I was a boy, 15 years of age. God has been using me with the gifts of the Spirit since I was a boy, 16 years of age. He has been speaking to me through the gift of the word of knowledge since I was 16. He spoke to me the first time through the gift of the word of knowledge when I was 16. And I'm 42. So I've been walking with God all these years. And there are still times when God speaks that I have to pull out the testing rod to make sure that it's God. Amen? So I say all of that to say to you, you need to start growing up and start testing what God's trying to do in your life. Amen? If you think God's trying to give a message in tongues through you, you think that's what's about to happen, but you're not sure, then test. You say, how do I test it? Okay, glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. Here's the way it's done. You simply start by doing this. Say, Lord, when there's about time for a message to be given in tongues, let me feel it. Don't let a message be given in tongues unless I feel it. Not that I've got to test everything, Lord, but I want you to teach me. And the first thing you know, as you start yielding to God, just before a message is given in tongues, it'll feel like your heart's about to pump out of you. You'll feel it. You'll know it. You'll know it. See? You say, boy, it's good that time, Lord. But Lord, since I'm scared, would you let that happen one more time just to make sure? So run the test on it again to make sure that you will feel it. You'll know it. See, you'll know. And so you'll feel this thing and you'll think, boy, it's about time to give a message. Boy, I believe at about that time someone will break forth. And as God begins to use you in this way, then you'll know. Then you'll say, well, Brother Gorman, I could see that, but how do you know whenever you're supposed to give an interpretation? Well, hell. Say, Lord, when a message is given in tongues, give me the interpretation and let the person who interprets it say the same thing you give me. And let me ride on their skirt tail for a few times to see if it's working. And it'll start happening. Well, it may not happen the first time you pray. Amen? But if you'll hang in there and pray and wait before God, it'll happen. And first thing you know, now, it may not be verbatim, because remember, a message is an interpretation. It is not a translation. You follow me? But you're growing as you begin to understand this. Amen? Hallelujah. Then again, on all the gifts, you can test them. Test them through the Word. You can test them like I'm showing you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But the one thing that's kind of bothering me, a lot of my beautiful babes in Christ, they're finding devils in everything. And that scares me. Not because I'm scared of the devil, but I'm scared the devil's going to get you. Because you're letting the devil get in too many things. And some people, everything that goes wrong, it's the devil that did it. And that's not according to the book. Amen? You know, that's like the psychiatrist who says the reason that you walk up and kick a hole through the door is because your stepmother wouldn't give you ice cream when you wanted it when you was a little boy. So you're taking your frustration out on the door now that you're a 50-year-old man. That's nuts. You're kicking the door in because that you're just stubborn and hard-headed and uncontrollable. You had no discipline. If your stepmother would have paddled you on the other end a few times when you were growing up, you wouldn't be kicking holes through doors today. Right? Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Now, but the reason I'm sharing this with you and helping you to understand the operation and the works of the gifts of the Spirit and how that you can test all of these things and how you can bring them under subjection is because you're not going to mature in God as long as you sit back and let everybody else be used in the Spirit. This is the reason why that I don't like for everyone, I mean every message, to be given by the same person. God wants to use everybody. He has no stepkids. We're all sons and daughters. He has no favorites that he's playing on. We are all part of the great family of God. And he wants all of us to wade out into the deep of his blessings and let the glory of God sweep over our souls. This is what God wants with us. He wants to use us, each and every one. And that's why that many times I tell the people, hold steady, hold steady. Amen? Because there are others that God's wanting to use. And if they're just given a little time, amen? It's like the first time that I went swimming. I barely waded out knee deep. And it took me a long time before I got where I jumped off the diving board. See? And that same thing is true spiritually. It's doubly true because people who are sincere enough to be used by the gifts of the Spirit, they're also sincere enough that they don't want to offend God or do something that would be in the flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as you test these things, as you test them, do you remember me telling you back some months ago that whenever that Vicki Jameson was here, and I know God has used me with the gift of word of knowledge, but I said when I first saw her, the first night she was in this church, and I saw the gift of the word of knowledge manifest through her, I said, Lord, I want you to let me know everything you're letting her know. And from the second night she was here, and if you'll recall, and I never told her that until after we was way in the meeting, but there were times in the meeting that she sensed this, and she would turn the microphone to me, and I'd take the microphone and continue to call out things that God was doing and speak of things that was happening in the audience just as though she was, because God was letting me know. Amen? Hallelujah. I believe that God wants us today to begin to grow up in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. There's a whole lot. I don't want to stop right now. Are you ready to go home? Okay. Let me just have you for a little bit longer. But God, I don't want to weary you, but I do want to go a little further. Now, some people, once they start being used by a gift, then they think every time they come to church, if they are not used in that particular way, that God has frowned upon them and that God is upset with them. And this isn't true. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It takes a mature person to step back and say, bless God, let that babe try his wings. Amen. It takes a mature person to sit back, knowing what's going on. And if some of the more mature saints would bind together in the spirit, you don't have to be sitting side by side, then you can help control that whole service. Hallelujah. Not too long ago, we was having a minister's meeting, and someone said, well, should I tell you right now, said, I'm always afraid of what people are preaching. You know, I don't know. I'm just afraid that sometimes somebody will come in and they'll preach something in the church that'll split my church. I said, well, brother, they can't split my church in one sermon. And that's all the chance they're going to get, one lick, and they better make it fast and short or they won't get all of it. But you know what would happen? I can sit right here on this platform and control this audience. Because that old boy standing in that pulpit says something that don't go along with what I've been teaching and preaching, you're going to look at me and I'm going, and that's all I got to do, and he's lost you. You're sitting there, but you don't hear him. That's true, and you know that. The average person, that's true. See? If you'll notice me, when I'm sitting on this platform and somebody's up here, my eyes are on that person. Because when people look at me and they see that I'm drinking and what they're saying, they say, well, if that's good enough for the preacher, even though he's kind of dry, let me check in. Maybe that is a little better. And a pastor can either make or break a service. Amen? I used to, when I traveled evangelistic work, and we got one of these dead fuddy-duddies that tried to sleep through my sermon, I said, you know what makes me feel better if you sit down there. You say, why would you want to sit down there? So the congregation couldn't see him yawn. Congregation see him yawning and say, boy, that preacher's really dry. He's not getting anywhere tonight. What I'm saying to you is simply this. You sitting out there in the spirit can help to control the spirit of a service. And you can help to keep that service in the middle of the road. And you can help to keep the convicting power of God moving and flowing. And if anything is about to get out of hand, if we believe what we preach, then we believe we can bind and we can believe that we can loose. And we believe that, if we really believe that, then if you're a mature Christian, you can just say, in the name of Jesus Christ, don't let it happen. See, I believe what I preach. Hallelujah. Amen? Hallelujah. I've prayed a many times and said, Lord, make them shut up. That's right, I really have. Lord, make them shut up. And sometimes the Lord don't hear my prayer and I have to go to him and tell him to shut up. I'm going to close now with dealing with just one other point. You'll never yield till you get a new heart. That old heart of yours is horrible. It's no good. It's rebellious. It's bitter. Doesn't know how to love. And you'll never be able to yield till you get a new heart. Amen. Some of you have heard me say this before, but I want to repeat it tonight. Some people think that the first thing that their baby ever said was daddy. And some people think the first thing their baby ever said was money. But I wasn't there, but the first thing your baby ever said was no, or eh, or stop. And you think back. And before it could do that, it would stiffen out as stiff as a porker and scream to the top of its lungs. And sometimes it would do that and you would walk the floor. You say, boy, sure got the cough. That's what it was, just a good game. You know, you remember whenever your baby was small, just stiffen out and scream. Boy, just scream. Mama would say, oh, poor little thing's got the colic again. Here comes the Paragard. Wasn't a thing in the world, but just plain old rebellion. We're born that way. It's the way we come into this world. Stop. Don't. Quit. No? We grew up like that. Amen? Fighting and rebelling. And that's the way we remain. First time God speaks to us, no. Somebody talks to us about praying, no. The Holy Spirit try to lead us, no. We are by our nature rebellious. Amen? And that'll never change. Just about the time you think that everything's going to be straightened out, old Adam flares up again. Amen. I remember one time we had guests, and there was a kid that my daddy detested anyway. And I had to agree with my dad. I believe he was the meanest kid I'd ever seen. And so in those days, kids were to be seen and not heard. But this one had never been taught that way. And so the older folks were eating dinner first, and the kids had to wait. Well, I knew, bud, when Dad and them said, wait, you'll eat a little later, that meant get out. Well, this kid was standing at the door snubbing and bawling, standing up there, and I could see that my dad was getting madder by the minute, so I checked out. So in a few minutes, they passed the okra to my dad. He started to get some okra, and that kid said, Buster, don't get all that okra, save some for me. Oh, did that make my daddy mad? And he turned and told the dad of that kid, says, get that kid out of here till it's time for him to eat. But this is by nature the way we are, basically, until we come to Christ. See, we don't have the ability. We're rebellious. We're ugly. Our very nature is ugly. Amen? Our attitudes. Some of us were forced to discipline them. And they don't show as bad as others. But that's the way we are. We are by nature the children of wrath. That's the way we come into this world. That's why we must be born again. Amen. That's why that we find these words in Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. This is the only way you can change it. I tried so hard to quit some things that was in my life before I was saved. I had actually come to the place that I didn't like me, and that's bad. It's bad when you get to the place that you don't like you. How can you love anyone else if you don't love yourself? Amen? How can you tolerate anyone else if you can't tolerate yourself? But when I was born again, and God put a new heart in me, suddenly, my whole outlook on life changed. It was instantaneously. Amen? Things that didn't matter to me before now suddenly mattered. Things that were not beautiful to me before suddenly were beautiful. Things that I thought I had to do before, suddenly I didn't care about them. It was an instantaneous thing because I had become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things had passed away and all things had become new. Amen? Amen? This all starts, and before you can yield to God, you've got to have a new heart. You've got to have a new heart. Wherein dwelleth righteousness, wherein dwelleth love, wherein dwelleth purity. This is the beginning. This is a start. Amen? The person who has a tender heart before God is the person who can be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? But you've got to be tender. You've got to be tender. If I was an individual that didn't weep any, I would pray every day that God would break me, that I could weep. You've got to be tender before God. Amen? You must be tender before God. The more tender you are before God, the more sensitive you are to the Spirit. Someone says, oh, Brother Gorman, but weeping is a sign of weakness. It is not a sign of weakness. Weeping is a sign of tenderness. But tenderness does not mean weakness. Tenderness simply means you can be touched, you can be moved. But it doesn't mean you can be pushed around. Amen. Jesus Christ was tender, but he was no weakling. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you think that Jeremiah was weakling, read his life. I don't know that I could have gone through what Jeremiah went through, but Jeremiah was a man who wept. And I think that brokenness before God, I believe what that God said unto David. He says, a contrite spirit and a broken heart, that's the thing that I desire. You search through the scripture and see how much emphasis God puts on us being broken, us being yielded, us being tender, us being receptive unto his voice, unto the move of his Spirit. My beloved friend, if Jesus Christ, who was our example, could be touched by the feeling of men's heartaches and sorrows and pains. And if he now is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and he himself said that he is moved and he is touched by the feeling of our infirmities, how can we be sensitive unto the needs of people unless we are tender before God and in the presence of individuals? Amen? And it starts with a new heart. Your old heart is rebellious. Your old heart is sinful. Your old heart is filled with the Adamic nature that will not let you be what God wants you to be. And the beginning of a life filled with the riches of God's blessings is a life that is broken before Almighty God, and a life that is transformed into newness of life. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Some people feel like, let Brother Gorman close in these words. Some people, they are amazed that why, when a person is gloriously saved, they don't need to drink anymore. See, they can't understand when a person is gloriously saved. I mean gloriously saved, that they don't need drugs anymore. They can't understand why their bodies do not react. But the thing they don't understand is that that person has been born anew. That thing has been broken. It has been washed out. It has been destroyed. It has been put away. You are a new individual. See, and this is a thing that you want to strive for. Come into that new life. Come into that new life. You're born of the Spirit into a new life. And no longer do these other things hold on to you. Amen? You say, well, Brother Gorman, I'm trying, and I haven't arrived at all of that yet. What do I do? yield to the Spirit and just keep coming closer and closer to God. Just keep loving Him every day. And that work of the Spirit within you will just keep growing in you until the total old life will disappear.